Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Monday, March 4th, 2024. Coming right up, it is the book of Acts, chapter 19. You do not want to miss this chapter. I can pretty much guarantee you, you've never heard of this. Did they try and pull an exorcism on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The answer is here. The answer is found in the manuscripts through the lexicons. The English argument of the Bible is pointless. It wasn't written in English. And we have the two most best-selling books on planet Earth, the two most printed books on planet Earth, by far. Nothing will even come close to it. They're the two most least translatable books into the English. We're talking the Quran and the Bible. And I study from the original language manuscripts through the lexicons and through any English version you prefer so we can get the true sense, meaning, and full expression of these words. You discover a glossary that we're going to be talking about today. It's in this chapter 19. The glossary in the Bible for your interpretation and understanding. It's also called the secret code. It's also called the key of David. I found it, and I'm sharing it with you. That's my primary core competency. It's my moral obligation to share it with you. It's found in the etymology of the key words. And they run threads through the Bible from the manuscripts through the lexicons. It's a fixed language. It's a very descriptive language. And the translators had no chance. Again, the English argument is pointless. And then you see phrases. And then you see grammatical constructs. And you go, hey, I've seen this before. It forms a thread for understanding and interpretation. It's the secret code that runs through the Bible. That's when people say to me, when they come around, they go, you know, Michael, that's your interpretation. I said, really? Really? I've been groomed for it. Michael, your opinion means less than nothing. You white trash, just menace to society. Okay, whose opinion means something then? Thank you, God, for that chastisement. Thank God for the chastisement. God only chastises those he loves. God knows how much affliction each of us needs to humble for the eternity, and I needed a shit-kicking of affliction. Thank you, God. And then look what he allowed me. And I'm sharing it with you. Now please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. We have some important church business to talk about. But first things first, let's get into some verses here. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line on line, chapter 19 of the book of Acts. And then I got some exciting church business. We're going to be talking about the glossary, exorcisms, and this is going to blow your mind. An exciting church business. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Shout out for the Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, finding certain disciples. Hey, there's my bros, keeping in touch. How'd they do it? They didn't have cell phones. How'd they keep in touch? They just did it. They made it work. Hey, man, this is where we're going to be. And they were there. Their word meant something. Sitting there texting and skating everywhere. No. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, Paul? Are you going to tell us? And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, by Johnny B, John the Baptist. That's where we were baptized. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying, oh, we're going to have to hit that word, repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, that's to say, Yeshua, salvation of Yahweh, my righteous right arm, most precious in the universe, irreplaceable, a very piece of my darling soul, Yaqid in the Hebrew, Psalms 22, Psalms 35, I put in this man, Yeshua Messiah, my only begotten son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, your savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your redeemer. He laid down his life for you. He walked into a torture chamber for us willingly and paid a price none of us could pay. Jesus Christ, the most selfless act of love and compassion that the universe has ever witnessed was Calvary at the cross, where prophecy became in accordance with the word of God, in accordance with reality. It was the crowning point of Christianity. What did Jesus Christ say there? What did he say on that cross? Last words. It is done. It is done. I did it. The ministry of salvation is now open. It is done. The doors of the ministry of salvation are now open. John 19:30. Death has been defeated. I did that for you. You have a way out now. Revelation 16:17. Jesus Christ says again, it is done. As he wraps up the affairs of time on this brutal flesh age. Hey, there's going to be a great separation of people. That's at the last trump or last seal. Seal, trump, and vial. Jesus Christ, it is done. I've done it. And then again, Where else do you see it is done? You see that pattern that runs through the Bible to let us know, hey, these promises are written in the councils of eternity, Revelation 21:6. It is done. There's a permanent separation of good people and evil people. And that's all there is to it. And it's up to you where you go. And it's through repentance. Let's talk about this word repentance for a little bit. Okay, so a lot of people don't understand this, and I'll give you a few examples. We go to Matthew chapter 21. Always open the book and let it speak for itself. And it, again, this is another proof. The English argument is pointless. A lot of people don't understand this. And when you go back into the manuscripts like I do, and do it full time like I do, surrender your entire existence over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon repentance, let's find out what this means. Okay, we're just going off the top on this lesson. Obviously, there's a more in-depth lesson here. But the lesson just off the top, dad had two sons, right? And this is the prophetic import to today. They spent the whole night in the basement playing video games. And dad says, one of you guys get to work. Okay, this is Matthew 21. You guys, hey, you, over there. Boy, go to work. And he says, I'm not going. But afterward, repented. This is the word metamelemia. And he went. Why did he go? Like the intent or desire to sin is still there. He did it grudgingly. It was an annoyance. It'd be like the same thing. It'd be like, you know, I had a Hellcat and I was driving up north in this beautiful highways, like up north in Ontario. And you can see for miles and miles in this beautiful tarmac and no one's out there. What do you think I did? Oh yeah, I blasted that thing right off 300 kilometers an hour. Oh yeah, she did her, right? What if I got caught? I would be repenting to the cops saying, listen, man, I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. I'm sorry. Because I did it, it's an afterthought of the consequences. Do I have the intent to do it again? You're damn right I'm going to do it again. First piece of highway I see where I can see no, you know, no overpasses, no nothing. Just let her rip, right? I'm going to do it again. So the intent or desire to sin is still there. There's your key there, even though it says repented. No, that's the wrong word. Jesus Christ is looking for the word metanoia, a real change of mind and attitude towards the sin itself. What about the second kid? This is awesome. The second kid. Hey, he answered and said, I go, sir. Yeah, I'll go to work. And then he was a no-show. Which one of these two did the will of God? Neither of them. There's your key there. It's not in the English. It's in the manuscripts through the lexicons. Okay, so that's what repentant means, a true change of attitude towards the sin itself. You're not going to do it again. If I get a hold of a Hellcat, am I going to hit 300 kilometers an hour again on those highways up there? You're damn right I am. I didn't repent of that. But towards these sins, hey, repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to you with an unquestioned obedience, my Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender my entire existence to you. Please forgive me for my sins. I recognize that you are the only one that can forgive sins on a judicial level. To allow me judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven, you are the only one. Most selfless act of love and compassion beyond our present comprehension. You are perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. You're the strongest entity in the universe. You're the only one that could have come here and defeated death, defeated Satan for us. No sin penetrated you, my Lord Jesus Christ. No guile, no malice, no corruption was found in you. You are innocent, not guilty. You took the lowest earthly position for us. You walked into a torture chamber. Maximum humiliation, maximum pain, maximum torture. And you did it for us. You held your own. Satan, you got nothing on me. It is done. John 19:30, he recited the whole Psalms 22. And you get over that when you start understanding. We'll talk about that in a minute. The first few verses of Psalm 22. That's David expressing his human frailty before he prophesizes about the Lord Jesus Christ. The true David. God will never leave you or forsake you. So here we go. And when they heard of this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means to submerge yourself in his thought patterns. Allow him to meta into your mental disposition. Meta. It's such a word in the manuscripts. Of course it's not in the English. That's what it means. It means coercive persuasion, thought control, thought reform. Okay, we have the ability to think critically or independently, but people have been meted by Satan's meta. And Satan's greatest trick is to fool the whole world into thinking he doesn't exist. They actually use the word meta to change your thought patterns, to reduce your ability to think critically or independently. We'll give you catchphrases. Here's some idea inoculation. We're gonna fact check hypothetical situations and declare finalities on hypothetical situations. And your argument will never hold up to closer scrutiny, but we will give you all these pre-approved major media catchphrases to insult anybody who's a critical thinker, right? And they're only going to be two words or three words or four words, sometimes five, but we'll keep the syllables down. I trust the science. Here's one, what they met it on. And I talked to these people. What science journals have you read? Have you been reading the International Journal of Infectious Disease? Have you been reading Science Immunology? Have you been on the National Institutes of Health's Public Library, Science Direct, Research Gate? Where have you been reading so we can talk about things and think about things? Oh, you're anti-science, aren't you? I said, wasn't that just the craziest thing? Be careful who metas thought patterns. Submerge yourself in Jesus Christ's thought patterns. And the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. That's glossa. Tongues is glossary. They were given the glossary of the Bible for understanding and interpretation. It's in there. That's God's trademark stamp of validity. To do what? To flop on the floor like a fish? Like these people around here? Listen, I pray for everybody. And it's the saddest thing. If you come here, and someone did, and was about to do it, and you want to flop on the floor like a fish and say, that's the Holy Spirit, I'm going to spray you with a garden hose, you phony sideshow. Get up, like it said to Job. Stand up and pull up your pantaloons, Job. Where were you? What do you know? Prophesy. How do you flop on the floor like a fish, blah, 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 and prophesy? What does prophesy now mean, too? There's another thing, one of my pet peeves, people coming out here say, I'm a prophet, Michael. Are you really? Because prophets now don't foretell anything. They foretell what is written. Go to the last page of your Bible. That's it. And they're making stuff up. They're babblers. We went over the babblers thing. And anyways, they're easy because their argument never holds up to closer scrutiny. Their argument always contradicts itself. They're making stuff up and they're a drag. It's hard to find people with the glossary of God's written word. Jesus Christ is the author of salvation. He is the living word. He is the perfect truth. He is that great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. And you're not going to change God's glossary based on a book somebody read or a commentary somebody said. You're not going to change it. These promises are written in the councils of eternity. Anyway, let's go on here. That's what they did. Submerge yourself in God's interpretation. That's what baptism means. That's why I keep saying it. Baptism literally means that. You know what? I think we have to go somewhere. I think we have to go to Matthew 10:20. I don't know. Let's see what happens here. Matthew 10:20. Oh, wasn't this nasty? Matthew 10:20. For it is not what you speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. Allow that to speak in you. Allow His thought patterns to rule over you. And I'm not too sure. I forget why I was going to go there. Matthew 10. Matthew 12. Anyways, God's thought patterns. And when he went into the okay, and then we're about 12. Okay, here's another great translating genius here. When they're about 12, what you think? Luke can't count to 12. Hey, you guys, stand still over there. How many? Hey, wait, hey, you over there. No, 12. It doesn't about 12. This is as it were. There was 12. That's God's governmental perfection. Biblical numerics are God's trademark stamp of validity also. Whenever you see a number, always remember to use biblical numerics and see how it applies for clarification of what we're talking about here. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, that means discussing, dialogue, and persuading, that means having a linear progression towards the truth. The things, what are they talking about? Having a bake sale? Who's going to run the band? Who's going to put up big screens? Concerning the kingdom of God. There's your key there. That's what they're talking about. This right here. The most valuable thing that you will ever put in your hands. Right here. It's your ticket out. If you can allow it to meta into your thought patterns, your mental disposition. Submerge yourself. As it's written. That's what baptism means. It's an act of obedience on the outside. But it's what's inside. Are you submerging yourself in God's thought patterns? But when diverse, that's some people, it means some people were hardened and believe not. Oh, yeah, I mean, these people are the majority. And spake evil of that way. Oh, yeah, that's called slander. And perhaps you would like to reconsider slander. People that run their mouths Ezekiel chapter 28, that's the death sentence on Satan. Slander's a death sentence. It's the same as murder. If you slander somebody, you pretty much wipe them off the map. And it's happened to me many times to get slandered, and next thing you know, kicked off certain platforms. And then what? What about people that want to hear God's word? Okay, so anyways, here they are. Okay, so they're delegitimizing the truth. They're villainizing the truth, speaking evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I have to go to the book of Timothy, and I just love this. Timothy, oh, look at that, right to the page. Timothy, chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they're just trying to start shit. That's all they're trying to do. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You know what? If people haven't earned their spot, I got people up here that villainize. And I love these people. I pray for everybody. Believe me, I pray for the whole human family. They just villainize the Bible. They haven't even read page 1, let alone understand page 1. So I just say to them, What do you call somebody that has an opinion on something and a very strong negative opinion on something that doesn't even know the first page of the narrative? You fill in the blank, because I can fill it in pretty good, believe me. Okay, let's talk some church business here. Paul skates, and he goes and hangs out with this guy from Tyrannus. We're going to talk about church. Okay, I put up this campaign. I'm just overwhelmed to get six bills, $600, right? Six Ben Franklins. And look at these people. I want to give so much thanks to these people. Shelly, Malin, Jeffrey, Linda, and a John. I'm up over $600. Thank you so much. I will not let you down. I will not let you down. It's like Pastor Al Murray. I will teach to my last dying breath. I don't need nothing. My environmental and nutritional requirements, yeah, it doesn't even, I live way below the poverty line. This is a registered nonprofit, and this is going to advertise and promote. And what happened? So just so you know, YouTube, I made this campaign, I got the money, I put it on my card, I paid YouTube, and then they sent me this, okay? You're not going to be able to read that, but just so you know, you can't promote Jesus Christ or advertise Jesus Christ on YouTube. I'm not. That was just like a kick in the gut. Are we in that high of a? Are we in that spot in society? The moral decay of society, where morals is the benchmark for human value and human virtues, and you are not disapproved. It just says disapproved. You can't. You can't promote Jesus Christ or religious material. It's a religion. I say religion is just follower of one's own beliefs. What about the religion people follow? Politics, money, mainstream media. That's what they believe in. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, no. So these people that put this money, I'm just going to tell you, and I'll try and keep in touch with email personally to these people. Shelly, Malin, thank you so much. Like, I had huge crocodile tears over this. So we're above six bills now. So Spotify or Rumble, which one of these two to go on? I have to make a decision, because I blew 2 days trying to figure out how to advertise on YouTube, and then just to get denied it, because you have to wait for the disapproval for hours and hours, like 24 hours. I was waiting. What's going on with this campaign? I can't let these people down. I promise you, I will not let you down. We'll get the word of God out there. We'll get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world. And some more good news. Okay, you know I'm squatting here, right? I'm squatting. Yeah, there's 77 acres of land here. It's gorgeous. I own it. And there's an abandoned house here. So on 220, I decided, or 219, 220, in that area, I come back and there's no electricity. There used to be electricity here a long time ago. So there's no electricity. The place is condemned. But I'm gonna live here. I'm going to teach the Bible here. This is a great place to study. It's quiet. No one's bugging me. It's awesome. And so 2 years pass, and it's really hard to get these podcasts out there with no electricity. Like, I got to go down to my friend's house and use his electricity for the computer. And then, you know, there's no hot water, no running water. And then go to the library and use their Wi-Fi to upload. And during the pandemic, you got to sit outside in your pickup truck and do it. Well, anyways, so finally get some money together, $7,000. So they would come turn the hydro on, and then they were threatening to shut it off. And I got some great news that they accepted. They accepted the hydro here. They call me a non-occupant because I'm squatting on my own property, and I fought it, and now they say, okay, certificate of acceptance. You can have electricity there, you white trash loser, and I'm a non-occupant, and I'm so proud of that. Thank you so much for helping me out. It's not just the greatest thing. It's not just the greatest thing. It's called being more trouble than it's worth. Not the biggest guy by far, not even close to being the toughest guy. You just be more trouble than it's worth, and God's there with me. Thank you so much. Okay, now let's get on with this. Verse 10 of Acts chapter 19, and this continued by the space of 2 years. They hung out with Ty. Yeah, they split, and they went and found somewhere else. Don't cast your pearls before swine. This guy Ty, he was a good guy, man. He had a church set up and lots of people coming in, and so that they all dwelt in Asia, and they're hanging out and living together and talking about God, thinking about God, trying to spread the word of God. That's the great commission on us, supporting God's word to get the message of Christ's love out there to both Jews and Greeks. Let's just say everybody. Who cares who you are? And key here, do not read over this, and God wrought. I don't know what this wrought means. It means God was performing special miracles by the hands of Paul. God was performing special miracles by the hand of Paul. There's your key there. Verse 12, so that by his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out from them. That is for real. So Paul would just like have little pieces, okay, tell these guys to pray like this. They believe on the Lord. So send out some disciples, get the people baptized, understand what's going on, okay? Get some church into them, get some Bible into them, okay? That's for real. Now in 1996, when I was, living in this, living in a subculture, I admit it, okay? Outside of society. And we're sitting there, and there's Peter Popoff. I'm looking for the truth. If it wasn't for my grandma giving me this book, this copy right here when I was 11 years old, never underestimate giving a little kid the Bible, 11 years old. And unbeknownst to everybody, little Mikey read it. Yeah, and I used to take it to church. And not once, this is just the saddest thing, and I pray for everybody, not one time ever since I was 11 and now I'm 57 has an adult opened this book with me as a kid. That's just, look at all the little kids' handwriting. I had all these questions in there. Look at all that. Just, what's this? What's that? Nobody. That's just the saddest thing. But anyways, I pray for the whole human family. We're talking about here is Peter Popoff Ministries back in 1996 sent out little squares of handkerchiefs and stuff like that, then passively aggressively demanded money. And at that particular time, I was living a lifestyle where, there wasn't hundreds of dollars in the house, there wasn't thousands, there was tens of thousands of dollars in the house. And I had two $1,000 bills Canadian. Now they made a little pink one that was a two, the deuce, and it's not around anymore, a 50. That was red, and then they made this $1,000 bill, and I had two of them, and I was getting this passive aggressive. It was aggressive campaign. I want your biggest bill, he said. And I'm looking at these. I got it in the mail. You get an envelope, right? And on the outside of the envelope, it was all, what's your donation? $1,000, big red check marks on the outside of the envelope, right into my mailbox. So there's something wrong here. This guy's not teaching the Bible at all. And so it was a big moral dilemma, because I'm sitting there. I want to please God. I know that God exists. I never denied God. No matter how far I went down to the point where I had to look up to see hell. And who was there? Pastor Owen Murray. At 3:00 in the morning, I was laying on the couch and I wasn't watching the TV. I've told this story. And I heard someone teaching the Bible, and I grabbed a pen. And I grabbed my unpaid hydro bill. And I started writing stuff down, everything he was saying. And then I couldn't find him for a year. I was like, who was that guy? That guy's teaching the truth. I reread my Bible, and then I found him again. If the people, it's not Pastor Arnold Murray. That's one thing. It's the many-member body of Christ. Who allowed him to be on that TV set at 3:00 in the morning when you only get three channels by a piece of crap TV plugged into the wall with those things on the top? Like probably just an old wire or something. Like you could barely see it. Who allowed him? The people that paid into that ministry. The many-member body of Christ that glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word. So when people don't pay into the truth. That's what's written in Revelation chapter 3. Invest in God's word. It's gold. Because I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be long dead, not just spiritually dead, physically dead, if it wasn't for people paying into Pastor Al Murray, or his Bible study would have never left his kitchen table. He would have never been able to afford that big white mother, he called it, big white, some big, the thing, the satellite dish, and get the word out there and buy TV time and buy advertising time. You know, it takes a many-membered body to come together. Thank you. Not just to Pastor Al Murray and Dennis, who's still rocking it, right? Of the Shepherd's Chapel. And I'll never meet them. I'll never get down to Arkansas. Like, I'm not even allowed in the United States. I'm not even allowed to fly over your airspace. So whatever, you can have it. Thank you very much to the people that supported that ministry so that he could buy TV time and glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word, get God's word out to a hurting world. I was one of them. So your rewards to whoever was shooting him, $10, $20, whatever you could give, is the same as Pastor Arnold Murray. It's the same reward as Pastor Arnold Murray's, and I can document that. It's all, whatever God-given talent you have, God expects you to use it in the many-membered body of Christ. Paul has a many-membered body around him. This is for real. It's for real. I have a guilt for not sending enough money to him. I bought pretty much every cassette the guy offered, like every cassette of the Bible in special study. I probably have 500 cassettes over there, and I over and over, and not in the background. I mean, I studied them. Fast, play, stop, rewind, play, stop, rewind. I went through countless cassette tapes and through the whole Bible over and over with this guy. That's how far gone I was. Thank you for everybody that supported Shepherd's Chapel and now consider supporting this companion chapel, because I'm going to do the same thing that Dr. Earl Murray did to my last dying breath. I don't need nothing, and I can prove that. You can come out here and see that. Okay, now let's go to the phonies. Verse 13, and a certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, two key words there, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, now notice this, is what they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. You know how condescending that is, not to say Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ. You find that thread through the Bible when people are addressing Jesus Christ and they only say Jesus. It's always demon, devils, evil spirits, or it is the lead clergy and their followers that were hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was very condescending to just say, hey, Jesus, to address him. So in your prayers, always, my Lord Jesus Christ. Always give him his full name, his full respect that he earned. So let's go over a few words here. This is, did they try to perform a exorcism on Jesus Christ? We're going to find out, but we have to go over vagabond. Who are these vagabond Jews? Vagabond here is Periaero. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. 1 Timothy 5. Okay, we go over this. We follow this thread, vagabond, through the Bible, right? So I'll go to New Testament, then Old Testament. This is learned behavior, being a vagabond, wanderers from house to house, idle, ineffective, worthless behavior. It means pernicious, having a harmful effect in a gradual or subtle way. So being a tattler. That's floreris. That means prating around, running their mouths, and doing foolish things. Okay, so that there you have what a vagabond is. Okay? This isn't, God didn't rot or allow special miracles, it's special powers, it actually should say. That's how it should be translated. God. Special powers. Okay, hey, this word rot's really throwing me off. Was doing special powers, special miracles by the hands of Paul. Not on these guys. These vagabonds, okay? That's why they're called vagabonds. And Jews just means, remember, okay, we're going to run this thread from Genesis 3:15 all the way to Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. And those two verses, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, indicate the two churches are the only ones that passed. Smyrna and Philadelphia are the only ones that God didn't have Jesus Christ didn't have something against. Because of 2:9 and 3:9. Recognize the synagogue of Satan. They say they are Jews, but they are not. They are phonies. Watch out. Let's follow that thread. Okay, here it is. I'm going to try and make this really simple. Genesis 4:12. We have fugitive vagabonds. That's Noah, Nud in the Hebrew. And we follow these people. It's the posterity of Cain. Remember Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity, that's hostile hatred, Satan, God talking to Satan, between your seed line and the seed of the woman. hostile hatred. Two seed lines there. Why is Cain never listed in the genealogy of Adam? Three times in the Bible, in Genesis, in Luke, and in Chronicles. It's not of Adam. And you're going to have to get over that. That's what the Bible says. If you don't believe the Bible is the word of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the living word. That means you think Jesus Christ is a liar. Cain is never listed in the posterity. Three times for emphasis. Christ IDs these people in no uncertain terms. For example, John 8:44. Hey, listen, man. You are of your father, the devil. Okay? That's who you are. You say you are Jews, but you're not. You are not of the posterity of Judah. That's forth out from Jacob with Leah. You're not one of the 12 tribes. You're not. You say you are. You're just trying to hold that handle. What happened? Cain and the Kenites became the Rechabites. We follow this through. Genesis 3:15. I'm only going to hit part of this thread. It's huge. And I've done lots of videos on it. 1 Chronicles 2:55. There's the Kenites again. No, Moses was not related to the Kenites through his stepdad. His stepdad lived in the land of the Kenites. And I've gone over that extensively. Jeremiah 35 is your key to understanding. These are the Rechabites. And Ezra and Nehemiah explains how these people got there. And Ezra and Nehemiah said, you're not calling yourself Jews. Ezra chapter 8, he's looking around three times, twice in Ezra and once in Nehemiah. Where's all the Levitical priests? There's none. There's none. There's just these people. And here they are, hostile to Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, and they're still around today. Woe unto those that have gone the way of Cain, gone the way of Balaam, and gone the way of Korah, says Jude. That just means you've adopted yourself into that train of thought, into that family. It's not a racial contentation whatsoever. If you've gone the way of Cain, that just means all your longings and wantings will rule over you. You just enter the rat race so you can perpetually chase shiny things. My shiny car, my shiny couch, my shiny appliances. You can't get over it. It's like being a meth head. I need more shiny things. And I'm going to take the best minutes of the best days of the best years of my life to work an unsatisfying job and live a life of quiet desperation for more shiny things. That's the curse on Cain. What about Balaam? Well, Balaam preached for money. Woe unto those who've gone the way of Balaam. What about Korah do? Korah came along with all his bros and said, listen, Moses, we're going to change a few things here. And God's like, hey, man, I've established this ministry. There's some more things to do. So what did God do? He zapped him. See you, Korah. But Korah's sons didn't follow daddy. And there's some great psalms. Sons of Korah. They're awesome psalms. So we have these vagabond Jews. Exorcists. Okay, let's get into the... Hey, where's my note on exorcists? I lost it. Exorcist. So what they're doing... Well, everyone knows what an exorcist is. Okay, what they're doing is they took up them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they say, I adjure you. So this word adjure is hakid in the original language. And it means, I order you by Jesus. Not even Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Just, I order you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. This means, I want you to promise. This word adjure. Okay, it's a different word in Matthew 26:63. We're going to go there in a second. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. Here's the lead clergy and their followers that are hostile to Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, unless they can make a family business out of it. Oh, do we see this in the big churches today? Weddings, funerals, baptisms, christenings, circumcisions. Hey, let's tell, how can we get more people in here? Let's just tell them, if you don't get your kid baptized, which you can't baptize a child, it has to be done as an adult, because it has to be a conscious adult decision, that the kid's going to go to purgatory. Oh, it's all about the money. Weddings, funerals, hey, circumcision, come over here. You can't be a Christian unless you, yeah, get over here, boy. Yeah, right. It's circumcisions of the heart. They commodified everything that they could. They commodified it. And I think I had a note about that. It doesn't matter. Let's just keep on trucking here. I lost my note. My notes are all over the place. I don't know what happened. So, and the evil spirit answered. So here they are performing this exorcism. And there were seven sons of Sceva. Let's do a count here. The chief priest which did so. Are they all there in one shot? It seems like it. And the evil spirit answered and said, I know. Jesus, I know. course he doesn't say Jesus Christ. Paul, I know, but who are you? Who you think you are? And the man leaped, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. So them would indicate, hey, there was more than one person here that just got shit kicked and walked out of the house wounded. Demons will make you hate the closest people around you or anyone who is trying to be your caregiver or who is trying to help you. These people are trying to help. But this person was like, no, man, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. And I'm just going to attack them. Have you ever seen when you try to help somebody? And I was one of them. I walked it, so I have every right to talk it. I would put a hate on. Hey, man, it's time for you to go get some help there, little Mikey. I would hate that person. Like, I didn't want to hear the truth. I just want some sugar coat. I want to hear what I want to hear. And that's the saddest thing. A true friend is going to come along and tell you the truth. When someone wants to make you feel better, they're going to tell you the truth. When somebody wants to make themselves look better, they're going to be an enabler and tell you what you want to hear. They're not true friends, okay? So anyways, I digressed a little bit there, but here's this evil spirit, demons, devils, this demon with the evil spirit. Yeah, he just did this. He just shit-kicked all these guys. Out they go. And this was well known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on all them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Why does God allow this? Because to prove the spiritual world is inside us and all around us, just beyond our current perception of physics. It's an energy. We can't see it. Flesh and blood cannot see the spiritual world. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. What we see out of these flesh eyes, the physical world, is nothing compared to what is right there. Let's cite precedent through the Bible. Jacob's ladder. It's a busy place. It's an architectural and engineering feat that God made himself. He created it. Through energy. It's right there. What about Elisha's armor bearer, Elisha's servant? It's right there, just beyond our current perception of physics. What about John? What did he say? Revelation chapter 10. Don't talk about it. What about Paul? Hey, I went to the third heaven, but I don't want to talk about it because everyone's going to make fun of me to the point where it's unbearable. Right? Okay. And all this was known to the Jews. God allows this. God is cementing in the foundation for salvation because Jesus Christ just pulled it off. Jesus Christ. Okay, in Mark chapter 5, Jesus Christ asked the demon his name. That's not us. We're not Jesus Christ. Don't play with these demons, devils, evil spirits. Now we can say this. He gave us power over this. Go open the Bible and let it speak for itself. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Thank you, my Lord Jesus Christ. I repent. Always have to cleanse yourself first. I repent, my Lord Jesus Christ. I know my sins and iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. I confess my sins and the sins of the world. I repent, my Lord Jesus Christ. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. And I want to thank you for the power you so graciously bestowed upon me that is universally recognized. I rebuke Satan. All evil spirits, demons, devils, all powers, principalities of Satan. I rebuke from inside me and all around me. I'm praying this for you right now. And I pray, my Lord Jesus Christ, saturate my heart with your love. Saturate my entire existence with your Holy Spirit. Cover me with your veil. Wrap me with your vesture. Please hold my hand. You are my shepherd. I shall not want another. You are my good shepherd. My great shepherd. You are my only shepherd. You are my rock. You are my only stability, my Lord Jesus Christ. You're my only certainty. How many times have you heard this word? Uncertain times, not with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need it. We can sit there and be quiet at night. Think about God. Think about, you know, its sufferings before the glory. These promises are written in the councils of eternity. You are my fortress, my high tower. You are my only stability, my only safety, my only security. Lord Jesus Christ, I can never thank you enough. I can never repay you. I can never thank you enough. I surrender my entire existence to you, my Lord Jesus Christ, personally, to serve you, to the whole human family. God wants his children back. They can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be part of the many-manner body of Christ with whatever God-given talent you have. God expects you to use it. This whole thing about, so don't be sitting there. Hey, if you want to pass your will over to a demon, devil, evil spirit, it's for real. It's not surreal. It's for real. I've seen a Ouija board move. I know they're right there. Demons, devils, evil spirits. You got a demon on you. I got lots that used to hound me, man. I was saturated with demons. The demon of, and the prison of drugs, alcohol, sensual lust. The prison of what other people think was crippling anxiety. I had spotlight syndrome so bad as a young man. Well, this is all learned behavior. Greed, gluttony. I had an attitude of obscene entitlement. I was the worst. I don't even know how God, I don't even know why I'm still walking here. I'm living on borrowed time. I owe it all to God. Those demons are gone. But don't you think they're not just sitting there waiting? When you get rid of a demon, they got time is on their side. Yes, it is. Just as Azazel. Time means nothing in the spiritual world. That's the energy world. They just sit there and wait for a weakness. You got the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7. It's not a weekend thing. It's a every hour, every minute, every second of every day. As we're passing through this short flesh age, you hold my hand, my Lord Jesus Christ. You can't walk with God if you're still holding the devil's hand. It's totally up to you. Exorcism, did they try and do this on Jesus Christ? This word adjure you by Jesus, St. Paul. That's what they said, arkizo. But in I'm going to have to find it because I can't find my note. Matthew chapter 26. Here we go. We have the same word adjure, and I was suspect of that. I said, the high priest has got Jesus Christ on the hot seat. That's the lead clergy. That's the same people, these Jews. That's not a racist thing. It just means it's an adjective in the New Testament. It doesn't say these sons of Judah, does it? It says these Jews, these people that have adopted themselves into this mindset, into this family, outside of God, that are hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Here they have him on the hot seat. They want to kill him. And they're just looking for an excuse here. And they ended up doing it. I adjure thee by the living God, the high priest says to Jesus Christ. I adjure thee. This is the word exorcist in the manuscripts. Trying to pull an exorcist. The word adjure in the manuscripts is exorcist, the verb. I exorcist you by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Trying to pull it right out of him. Isn't that just the craziest thing? Well, I want to thank you very much for watching. That's enough for today. Having too much fun. I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself the greatest day. And bye for now.